What is up, everybody? This is the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Rock Spotlight's mission is to connect others through an educational podcast. Each episode will highlight someone from Rochester, New York, in the health and wellness space who is thinking outside of the box, providing exceptional products and or services, and is elevating our community. Make sure to stay tuned after the podcast for more information on my practice, on my approach to healing, and a little bit more about myself. Thanks for listening, guys. Enjoy the show. Content, content, content. I get it. It's very overwhelming at times. I'm here to tell you there's only one storytelling platform that helps you keep calm and stay informed and inspired, and that's Flipboard. Flipboard curates the world's stories so you can be smarter in your work, life, and play. Choose from thousands of topics to personalize Flipboard and get the latest stories from the best publishers and experts delivered to you 24/7. When you see stories that you want to save or share, tap the plus button to add them to private or public collections. It's that simple. Used by millions of people every day, Flipboard is how people move themselves and the world forward. Get started now at flipboard.com. That's FLIPBOARD.com. Welcome back to the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll. And today we are going to talk about mindset. We're going to talk about leading and living from flow. We're going to talk about the flow state. And we have a special guest in the house today. We have Sarah Derenbacher. She is the founder of Evolvability. And I'm going to introduce our special guest right now. Sarah is a leadership and performance coach who advises, consults, and works hand-in-hand with entrepreneurs, executives, and sports teams in the areas of peak performance, leadership, organizational team culture, and flow mindset. Her expertise is in guiding leaders through high-risk, high-reward growth and development, expediting breakthrough moments, transforming individual and group mindsets, developing strategies to attain peak performance, and changing the culture of groups. Sarah has built her expertise over 15 years of experience consulting with a variety of businesses and teams, including Fortune 500 companies, owner-operated enterprises, and sports teams. So without further ado, welcome to the podcast, Sarah.
Thank you. Great to be here.
How are you doing today?
Doing well.
All right, let's dive right in. So tell me about you. Tell me about your story and how you ended up running your own business.
So I spent, first couple of years of my career really focused on the external side of the house with PR and marketing. Ended up wanting to kind of move inside of the organization to make a little bit more of a deeper impact and did employee engagement and management consulting for about 8 to 9 years after that. And I saw in both of those kind of paths the same sense of this striving for performance almost at the expense of the individual. This high-performing, kind of high-achieving mindset sometimes sets us up for this crash and burn. And I got really passionate about finding a different way. What are the solutions? What are the tools that, you know, individuals who want to still have this high performance can use so that they don't have to sacrifice their entire lives to achieve these results. And so about 4 years ago, I started Evolvability with that passion and with that belief that when an individual is deeply connected to themselves, you know, and their purpose and their why, there are so many things that they can do. Their potential is essentially limitless. And so that has been my passion and my purpose going down this path, you know, with Evolvability.
Very cool. Let's cut right to it, because I think most of my listeners right now are at the edge of their seats. They got their pen and paper out. They want to hear about flow. They want to take some notes. I know I do. So tell me about flow. I think most listeners have heard of that concept. We know it's a good thing, but what is it, in your words, and why is it important?
So flow psychology has been around for a long time, since the early 1980s. The original psychologists that first started studying flow always made the analogy that flow was almost this state of mind that you can see in jazz performers. So when you get up there and you have this kind of free-flowing musicianship that musician is actually losing themselves in the music, that is as close to the flow state, right, as we can see kind of in our day-to-day. And so finding a way to take that kind of free-flowing energy that is kind of moving us forward into moment after moment after moment is really what this idea of flow is about. When you think of what flow is, how you know you're in flow, there is total absorption in the task at hand. You aren't thinking about all of the other things that are going on in your life, right? In this world, we get a lot of compliments and we think that we're doing really well when we're multitasking. And in order to be in flow, you have to have that total absorption, that single attention.
Ah, darn it.
Yes.
I am rarely in flow.
Yes, yes. Most of us, right, with this kind of habitual thought pattern that is constantly plagguing us.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all rarely in flow.
Right.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me interrupt.
Yes.
You. Are we just seeing flow, or are we feeling flow?
We are feeling flow. So the other thing that I love about being in flow, the inner critic is shut down. So that voice in our head that is saying, is this right? Is this wrong? Is this good? Is this bad? Are we achieving as much as we can achieve? Do we need to make changes? When we are in flow, that voice actually goes away. And that is a product of a bunch of neurochemicals, dopamine, serotonin that get released when we're in this flow state. It's this wash over us that happens. For a lot of years, people thought flow was binary. You're either in flow or you're out of flow. You're in the zone or you're out of the zone. And
that's what I would think.
Yes. And
that's
so
false.
That is false.
Oh, okay.
There's a bunch of research that is coming out of the Flow Genome Project, Stephen Kotler, that describes the flow state as a 4-stage process. You have a struggle phase where it's essentially, if you think of it like a computer, you're downloading all of this information. And some of the student athletes that I work with, I always liken this to you're studying for that test. You're getting as much information as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Then you transition to a release. So you're kind of, you step away from all of this information to let your body actually absorb what is happening. Different release strategies are taking a walk in nature, listening to music, anything that gets us out of our mind and into our body.
Mm-hmm.
And then transitioning into that third phase, which is flow.
Right.
And then the fourth phase is the rest and recovery, because all of those performance-enhancing neurochemicals get released in the flow state. That rest and recovery, which you know
mm-hmm.
all about
yeah.
in your business,
yeah.
Are essential to refuel, and that's the recovery phase.
So that's why it's important. It's not just that it makes you more productive and it's an enjoyable state to be in, but it's also a healthier state.
It is a healthier state, yes. I just read something that said cortisol is the new cholesterol.
I like that.
And
yeah.
whenever we're not in flow, whenever we're kind of grinding through that achieving mindset and not connected to that place in ourselves,
mm-hmm.
That cortisol is just washing over us.
And just to interject with cortisol, I think that gets a bad rap. Cortisol is a hormone that we all need secreted
mm-hmm.
at the right time, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the
yes.
morning.
Yes.
To get us out of bed, get us excited for the day.
Yes.
It shouldn't remain elevated throughout the day.
Correct.
Which it does for a lot of us in that fight or flight mode, trying to multitask, trying to do, type A mentality.
You got it.
Okay. I like that.
And the way our culture is set up around this do and
mm-hmm.
fight or flight, it makes it hard. And so flow is also not a what I call performance on demand strategy. You cannot just show up and say, okay, I'm ready to be in flow.
Right.
You have to create an environment, whether it's for yourself, your team, your family, whatever that looks like, where flow is possible.
You mentioned the flow genome before. Does that mean there's a gene for flow?
No, that is so
that
that is the name of an organization that does a lot of research
okay,
around
gotcha.
Flow. All things
I was
flow.
Like, wait
yes.
a second. This is going to take a turn here
nope.
in this podcast.
Nope.
We're talking about this.
Yep.
How do
and
I turn that gene on?
Yes, and then you'll need to get someone else on here to talk
oh,
about
man.
That.
I got really excited there. Okay, so let's dive into leadership now.
Yeah.
How does flow tie into leading?
So it is my belief that the most inspirational and the most powerful leaders are deeply connected to their why and what it is that they're doing, and their ability to inspire hearts and minds comes from resonance. So if you're ever at an event or watching a speaker and you hear what that speaker is saying and you can process it on an intellectual level and it is interesting and compelling, but you're not moved, right? That's it. That's an amazing speaker, but maybe lacking some resonance, right? And so where is that speaker or where is that leader kind of leading from? And so in order to get that, there's this idea of presence. There's a great book by Amy Cuddy called Presence, which breaks down how do we lead from this presence, or my language for that is flow. How do we connect with ourselves, right, before we go on stage or before we have these, you know, impactful conversations or one-on-ones.
Like this podcast.
Or, yes, exactly.
So what did you do before this then to get ready? Like, is there a ritual? Are there tips, practices?
Yes, there are practices, okay. And to each their own.
Okay.
On my drive over here, I did a little bit of car dancing. Movement
nice.
Is actually a really great way to
have
presence, because there's a lot of what I call working, playing, living from the neck up, where we actually forget that there's an entire body below our head, which is usually what is leading us through the day. And so any kind of movement, any kind of pause, any kind of just release helps get us back into our body.
Did you record yourself? Or do you have like a YouTube channel of car dancing?
Absolutely not.
That would go viral, I think.
No one needs to see that.
What about like singing or like verbally?
Yes. I do that? No. But can people to do that to release? Yes. Yeah, the connection to voice in the body, you know, from an embodiment practice standpoint is...
That's pretty strong.
Yes, very strong.
Okay, are we born leaders or can we become a great leader?
So I think in us, and this is just my personal belief, and a belief that actually leads me through my life and my work, is that we are all born with leadership qualities. What we decide to do with them, how we cultivate them, how we relate to those qualities in us. Do we push them away? Do we think that they are outside of us, these things that we have to strive towards? That determines, and each choice we make around those, which are happening in milliseconds, you know, throughout our lives, dictates how we relate to a leadership role, I would say. But from a leadership standpoint, we are all leaders, right? We have to lead ourselves before we can lead others. And whether you are, you know, a mother or a father at home with your family, or someone in the boardroom, or a head coach on the sidelines, first and foremost, it's most important to be able to relate to that place in yourself and lead yourself.
But there's different qualities when we talk about leadership and leaders.
Yes.
Like for me, I was a captain on my sports teams in high school. But I was very quiet, very timid. I would lead by example. I was not the vocal leader at all. And I think that would change now. I think I would definitely be more vocal. That probably just comes with maturity and getting older. Is that an example, though? How you can have different qualities?
You can have different qualities. And what's most important then, whatever those qualities are getting really clear on what your strengths are. The self-awareness that we can have around, so you knew that you weren't a vocal leader, but you had a lot of other...
I hated it.
Yes.
I hated getting in front of the team.
Yes.
And doing the rah-rah. Like, that wasn't me.
So the amount of energy that perhaps people spend in a place trying to will themselves into that role, as opposed to, okay, this isn't, you know, my natural fit from a leadership standpoint, what is killing their ability to be a leader, right? Of course there's growth, and of course we want to develop... you know, different attributes, if you will, that aren't natural to us, but being really clear about what those are, what that path looks like, so that we're not spending this time becoming this idea of a leader that we have in our minds, is really important.
I think even now, if I was a captain on my high school team, I would be a little bit more vocal, but I would like the one-on-one. I would rather bring someone to the side and have a deeper conversation.
Yes.
I would connect way better with that.
Yes.
I think we just answered the next question. What attributes does a great leader exemplify?
Yes.
So let's get into some applicable things here. My listeners love that. I've gotten some feedback that they want tips that they can do today to get into this flow state to become a better leader. Let's start with leadership. What is one tip we can work on today to become a better leader?
The first thing that I work on with anyone that I work with is self-awareness.
Okay.
If we aren't aware of how we first are moving through the day, and this is painful because so much of our lives are oriented to things happening outside of us and around us. So if we don't take that time to pause and reflect, our ability to make change happen in the environment around us is dramatically decreased.
Does that mean meditation?
So self-awareness can just simply be a 5-minute reflection at the end of the week and writing at least 3 sentences in a journal. 3 sentences.
What kind of sentence?
They can be anything about how you moved through that week, how you moved through that day, depending on what you're wanting to reflect on. Some of the leaders that I work with, I have them share their leadership reflection. So how did I lead this week? Just to take an inventory. And the actual act of writing, not typing in a phone, not typing on the computer, strengthens our relationship.
Are you proud of me?
I am proud of you. Yes. Rarely do I see that anymore. Yes.
Does car dancing count too?
Car dancing
you
counts.
Write that down?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Okay, so just writing things down.
Right. Yes.
Three
writing
sentences.
Things down. Yes.
And end of the week. Doesn't have to be every day.
It does not have to be every day.
But it could be.
The frequency with which you do that will help advance that process. But that also establishes trust with yourself as you continue to grow and make change happen. And it closes that feedback loop of how am I doing, right? We stop waiting on the rest of the world around us to share that information because now we're starting to take that inventory.
Okay.
So that's that. I would say that is the biggest piece.
What about the flow state? We all want to be in flow state. How can we get in there right now or try to?
Yes. Pause. Pause is the biggest one. And whether that is through meditation, yoga, any kind of embodiment practices that bring you into your body, anything that gets you out of your mind and into your body is going to free you up for flow.
Anything else?
Yeah. So the other interesting thing about being in the flow mindset is there has to be some kind of risk. So if you think about adventure athletes, right, who are climbing Mount Everest, it's kind of like this flow or die type of mentality. And this is part of why I like working with entrepreneurs and sports teams, because there is that mindset of high risk, high reward. And so in order to really push us into or invite us into this heightened level of awareness of and total absorption in this moment, there has to be some kind of skin in the game. And so that's something else. And how we get that skin in the game, you know, in our day-to-day lives is awareness of what it is that we really want moment after moment after moment. So because we go through our lives in a lot of cases on autopilot, there isn't a lot of skin in the game. I mean,
yeah,
we're just kind of moving right in and out of things.
We're coasting. Yeah.
Yes. And so if from a daily practice standpoint, you get up in the morning and you say, how do I want this day to look? And you have that clarity around how you have some skin in the game. Right, if you're going into a meeting and you have a sense of, because you're beginning that conversation with yourself, right? What do I really want from this meeting? You have some skin in the game. And so the idea is to be actively engaged with what it is that I'm really wanting so that flow can start to impact our daily lives, not just these high risk, high reward environments.
Do you find that entrepreneurs, because we're dreamers, we're always thinking in the future, we struggle with the present because of that?
Yes.
Whereas most other people, maybe they're too afraid to start a business and they're in the past.
That is possible.
So this is, a lot of this is about being in the present.
Yes. I would say that
it's not a bad thing to be looking in the future and dreaming, but
because you have to,
how are you
going to
get there?
You have to have those. So that's, what do you really want, right? You have your what do you want by that plan, but then tempering that and coming back to the present moment of, okay, where am I right now? How do I hit pause right now? How do I open up to flow in this moment? Yes.
So tell me your biggest example, your best example for flow that you give to your sports teams, you personally. Like, what was a time, what was the best flow state you've ever been in? Or what's the example you use? And then I'll share mine.
The best flow state I've ever been in.
What do you give to your clients? I mean, you must share a time that you've been in flow that they can resonate with. Or
I usually share examples of...
Other people?
Other people, yeah.
I'm putting you on the spot.
You are.
I'll share mine first.
Okay.
I wish I was there right now because it was awesome. It was high school basketball. It was, I think, my junior season. I'm not a great three-point shooter, mm-hmm. but that game I was. I was more of a take the ball to the basket, get the foul, go to the free throw line. I was a scorer, but I was more of a driver. But that game I couldn't miss. It was like the basket was the ocean, and I had a beach ball, and I'm just like, just throw it in left-handed with my pinky. It was crazy. I made 6 3-pointers. We ended up losing the game, though. I missed the 3-pointer at the end of the game to win it.
Painful.
But the whole game, I had guys in my face just running out at me. I was just like chucking them up, making them. And it was awesome. I remember it like it was yesterday. And then the next game, I'm like, it's going to continue, obviously.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I was like 0 for 6.
Yep. Yes.
But I remember that vividly. Like that was definitely it. I was in the flow state.
Yeah. And you probably, during that performance, didn't even know that you were in the flow state. It's not until you come out and reflect on it.
Yep. Until, like, my teammates and my buddies were like, man, you were awesome that night.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, it did feel pretty good.
Yes. Yeah, and this phenomenon that you're describing around, and then the next performance, we try to get that. It's another version of kind of being out of the moment, right? Mm-hmm. We're striving again. It's like we can't help ourselves. Yeah.
I was reaching big time.
Yes. So I probably have some, I mean, when you're talking about sports, certainly some, I mean, mm-hmm. I was a soccer player in high school, and there is one game that we played under the lights at home where this was in play. But, and this isn't fully thought out, but there's something around evolvability for me that actually, and when I made the choice to do this, that was very much from this flow state that wouldn't have, I mean, when you talk about the ocean, right? Mm-hmm. That wouldn't have otherwise made sense if I was not in flow in a lot of ways. Right. And so while it's not one specific, you're giving me something to think about, which I appreciate. But there is something about, you know, being in this kind of a space that mm-hmm. Very much is kind of a hot wire for me to find flow.
Tell me about evolvability, about the name. How'd you come up with the name?
So... labor of love. It actually took a while. But as humans, my belief is that we are always evolving. And not just from a success or accomplishment or achievement standpoint, but also from the sense of fulfillment. And the word evolve to me really kind of captures success and fulfillment. And then it's our ability to evolve with, you know, our changing goals, the changing environments around us, and that adaptation that really kind of landed me at evolvability.
I think it's a really cool name. And I can tell that you're very passionate about what you do and you love your job and you're really good at it. I've never been a client of yours, but I could just tell you know what you're doing. So let's dive into a little bit more about you. Before we get into your practice, what about any books or resources on flow or leadership?
Yes. So the book that I recommend on leadership, which is... different than I think a lot
of
people.
Did you already share it? Is it Presence?
Is his Presence. Okay. I think there are so many wonderful kind of formulaic leadership books out there that talk about important attributes. All of that is very important and foundational. But for me, this idea of presence and leading from presence is essential. And I think for where we are, not just in our day-to-day lives, but where we are in the world right now.
So who wrote that? Amy?
Amy Cuddy.
Cuddy.
Yep.
And does that talk about flow as well?
No. I use presence and flow somewhat interchangeably, but no, it does not talk about the state of flow.
You mentioned Know Your Why earlier. Isn't that a book?
That is a book, and that is in my top three to share. Yes, it's Finding Your Why by Simon Sinek.
Okay.
I love everything about that man's journey and how he landed in this whole passion of finding your why. He personally had an unmet need. He was unfulfilled and was stumbling through and trying to figure out what it was that would bring him that fulfillment and realizing that this deep connection to the why was a piece of it just set his entire path in motion. So Finding Your Why, big one.
Those were two?
Yes, and I have one more.
Share it. Let's hear it.
This is around flow. It's called it's called The Rise of Superman.
I'm sold.
By Stephen Kotler. And he is a founder of the Flow Genome Project. That was what I mentioned earlier, that does a ton of research and development around all things flow.
Not on the genes, though, of flow.
That's correct.
Yeah. I'm still bumming about correct. That.
That's right. It's not going to be a superfood anytime soon.
Okay, so we got presence, we've got the rise of Superman, and finding your why.
Yes.
Love it. So who is your ideal client?
So for me, I love working in athletics. I love working in sports teams. I love being in that environment of competition. So that's one. Another group is entrepreneurs for similar reasons, highly competitive, highly focused on performance, also wanting to have sustainable lives outside of what we're doing for our work lives. And then executives who are inside of companies and they're looking to really make an impact, right? Mm-hmm. To really change the way that we're looking at the world.
Now, sports teams, is this high school? Is this college, professional?
Great question. As of right now, it is college.
Okay.
Certainly would love the opportunity to work in the professional setting. But right now it is college athletics. I have done, chatted with and done some presentations to some high school coaches, which mm-hmm. have been a ton of fun, especially because I have seen, you know, where those athletes are going on the college side. So that's been, really amazing. But yeah, predominantly it is college. Yeah.
Is it kind of a 50-50 split, entrepreneurs and sports teams?
Yes, it is.
Cool.
Yep.
Now you said you listened to the Neuroplasticity podcast with Erica Ebert that I had?
Yes.
She's doing some mindfulness work. I don't know if you heard with Webster schools, with a lot of the high schools.
Oh, wonderful. Yes.
But I'll have to connect you guys later.
Yes, yeah, that would be great.
Cool.
Yeah, when...
I feel like schools are starting to go that direction.
Very much so.
They're realizing the potential, just how important it is. Sports psychology, mm-hmm. flow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just giving, I mean, the neuroplasticity piece of giving our minds an opportunity to rewire us for success, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. So how can listeners connect with you? How can they make an appointment with you? How can they hear more about your practice?
So you can visit evolveability.co and find a ton of information there on process, methodology, ways to connect. And you can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. Evolveability being kind of the handle on all of those things.
I skipped a question.
What's that?
How does Sarah win the day?
Oh, small question.
That's a big one. I want to hear this one. I'm excited.
Well, we know car dancing is in there somewhere. No, just kidding.
Movement is, though.
Yes, movement is. So a daily practice of mine is meditation. So every morning I get up, meditate.
How long?
About 20 minutes.
Wow. Respect.
Which, yes. And so this is something...
But you've worked up to that.
I have spent 7 years working up
to
that.
Yeah, there you go. That's important for listeners to hear
that. Yeah. If you can do 5 minutes, I mean, even this recommendation when I'm working with clients, if you can even get to 5 minutes, because it's less about the time and it's more about the practice of knowing that you have that space,
right?
The time will come, right? You will add on a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. So it's meditation, journaling. If I'm feeling like some kind of movement in there is movement that could be as simple as, you know, some stretching, to, you know, a run with my dog, or, dancing in my living room. So it could be any of those things depending on what's moving for me, but meditation and journaling in the morning are a primary practice for me. And then the opportunity to go out and do work that I love with people who are inspired and engaged by these things is a giant way that I win the day. I mean, there are very few days that I'm not on my drive home from work, wherever work is that day, and just full of gratitude and lessons for myself that I'm learning from my clients about the way that, whether it's they handle the resiliency, adversity, or whatever it is they've got going on around this. So as much as I may be a teacher, I am very much a student every day that I'm out there doing this work. And so that's a big part of how I win the day too.
Well said. That sounds like a win to me.
Yes.
Last question. If you have a friend coming to Rochester who has never been here, where are you taking them?
So this was a struggle because we have such a great food and drink scene here. So that was kind of the obvious answer. My personal favorite, though, of living here in Rochester is the lake. I love being anywhere on the lake. I love hiking at the lake. So I would take them to the lake. And if I had to pick a specific spot on the lake, that's so hard. I mean, I love Chimney Bluffs.
Okay.
I love anywhere between here and Buffalo. Being on the lake is, I don't think you can beat it.
Outdoors, some good food and drink.
Yes, you got it.
Can't beat that. And not the Finger Lakes. You're talking Lake Ontario.
Lake Ontario.
Okay.
Giving a wave to our Canadian neighbors. Yes.
Well, Sarah, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. I know you're super busy. I love what you're doing in the community. So keep doing it. Keep chasing your dreams. And of all ability, guys, follow her on social media. Reach out to Sarah if you have any questions. Are you taking clients?
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. If you're on the fence, I mean, at least it's worth a conversation.
Yeah, I would be happy to talk with you. And thank you for having me.
You bet. Well, thank you, listeners. I appreciate you guys. Stay tuned. I've got one more podcast lined up for the month of May. And then I'm going to take a break here for the summer. And we're going to welcome our second baby girl. Much needed break. And I'm going to try to sleep as much as I can. Thanks again, guys. Talk to you soon. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, I'm Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Are you dealing with aches and pains on a daily basis? I'm here to tell you that it does not have to be like that. I want to help you get out of pain. I want to help you solve your problems. I want to unravel what happened in the past to lead to where you're at now. So if that's you and you have questions about your health, call me, text me, email me. Go to my website, driscollchiropracticny.com. Read a little bit more about myself and my approach. You can call or text 585-672-3870. You can email me info@driscollchiropracticny.com. You can find me on Facebook, Driscoll Chiropractic NY, or on Instagram @dr.driscoll. One more thing, guys, if you don't mind popping over to Apple Podcast Reviews and leaving me a 5-star review or any star, it doesn't matter. It's just feedback for me. And the goal and the mission of this podcast is to reach more people and to help more people. So thanks again, guys, for listening. It means the world to me. Buckle up. I got some great guests lined up. Talk to you soon.